I have a thank you here for the church that I was supposed to read last week, and I said it in my Bible and overlooked it when I was up here last week. It's from the Rule family. It says the Rule family would like to thank you, or thank the church for letting us use the church yesterday. It was deeply appreciated. So it's just a thank you card from the Rule family that I forgot. I apologize for that. And so here it is today. Come on, man.
Good morning. That was like my second hint that I wasn't supposed to preach. Jesse said, "Are you preaching today?" I said, "No, you are." And then Les comes up. I'm like, "Well, maybe I'm not." Unfortunately, I am. I want to echo something Dwayne said, though. The standard. My uncle, my mom's brother, passed away June 22nd, I think. And they had his wish was there's no calling hours, there's no anything. His family, his daughter and his son and wife said, "You know, in honor of Dad, we're going to have a memorial or a get together in our backyard and just honor his life. And we think he'd be okay with that." And part of the thing was, He was a big sports guy. His name was Dan Coldwell. He delivered mail in Mount Gilead for 38 years. He was like, I don't know. I always called him the mayor of Mount Gilead, but because every morning he was at McDonald's drinking coffee with, I don't think he ever ate anything, but he was drinking coffee with the guys once he retired. He always was the same every single time you saw him. He was sturdy. He was there. He would give you the shirt off his back. He would whatever. But it was neat yesterday because, you know, when you're planning something outside, you just wonder, are we taking a chance here? And he always had a beautifully manicured backyard. His landscape, he was always impeccable because he retired at like, well, I don't know, 50. So he, you know, he was like, "Hey, I still got plenty of good stuff I can do here." And God's standard showed yesterday because it was the most beautiful day we've had all summer long. It wasn't hot. It wasn't cold. It wasn't windy. It wasn't rainy. It was just perfect. And I thought, you know, that's pretty cool that we got to honor Dan, who was steady as a rock all his life, and that weather was the way it was. And Dwayne's devotion kind of hit that with me. And also, I feel Dwayne, because if you've ever replaced a lawnmower tire, that is the most frustrating thing in the world. Even if you do find the right size tire, you don't get the bearing pack back on there correctly, and then you always will have that tire that wobbles that you don't. I mean, it's frustrating. But that, I've never known that, but I've replaced several tires on mowers, and sometimes they don't fit right on the rim, and I never got that deep into it like Dwayne. But, man, that makes a lot of sense. Northmore has a stamp on a lot of things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and Lord, we're ever thankful for your presence. We're ever thankful for the stability that you give us day in, day out. We know that you are the same today, tomorrow, forever. Lord, as we try to be more like you and be more consistent in our daily lives and live more like you want us to live, Lord, we know that we fall short. But just continue to put push us and put us in situations where we can develop and try to be more like you in everything we do, Lord. Lord, I ask that you shut me down today and you just give me the words that you want me to speak, Lord, and you give the congregation ears that they hear what you want them to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. So, you know, there's just certain things that you read or do or say that just kind of stick with you. And last week in Sunday school, the young people and I were talking about a passage, and we're in a book about discipleship. And I thought, you know, I think everybody needs to hear this. So I don't know what I tell you it was, the title. What's it say in the bulletin? What We Are to God. I'm going to change that, edit it. Who Does God Say We Are? Or you can put them both, whatever. But this is right out of the book that we're using. And it's a lot of passages. And there's... the book says we are. And some of them kind of struck home. And, you know, the young people last week, they don't like necessarily, they're not loud and rambunctious, I'll say that. So we just went around the room and we each took a passage. And, you know, the kids did such a great job of reading the passages that I was going to have them come up here and do it today, but I was like, nah, I won't do that. But there's certain things that God says we are. You know, we all have an opinion of ourselves. We all know where we fall short. We all know what our strengths are. We all know what we're good at. Well, today I'm going to look at some of these things, and there's going to be things that we're not good at, but this is what God says we are. So these are things that we have to get better at. Number one, fishers of men. Fishers of men. And the first passage is Matthew 4:19. We're going to skip around a lot. I think Julie got them all inputted, so we should have them up here. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." There was no other explanation. This is what God said directly to the disciples. Man, get off those boats and come follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now, what does that look like? Man, every person in here is in a situation where they can be a fisher of men. I don't care if you work by yourself. I don't care if you work with thousands of other people. I don't care if you're a number for a big corporation. I don't care if you're... you know, mowing yards. I don't care. You can be the example for God, and that makes you a fisher of men. Everything we do, somebody sees. You know, some people are going to get more of a chance to speak about things like this. Some people are going to be more interactive with people. You know, some of my best things are done when I'm by myself sitting on a mower or sitting in my truck driving. Because so many times I think, and the word character comes to mind, and character is what you do when nobody's watching. Right? And that's an attribute that makes us fishers of men. Because what we do when nobody's watching will transpose to what we do when people are there. Fisher of men, that's number one. Number two, and there's a couple that I struggle with. This is one of them. God says we are the salt. Just because I have a hard time comprehending, but I hope we get there. And he said to them, "Follow me and I will..." Nope. Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." So think about that. And we talked last week that salt is, while too much salt in our food is probably not good for us, salt is vital to our body. Okay? Salt is vital to our body. Why? And we could get the medical experts up here and they could tell you. But I think the salt makes us hydrate. Jamie, no? Yes? The salt will make you thirsty, which will make us hydrate. The salt then will cleanse our organs and cleanse everything that we need. And it gives us everything we need. So, but if salt loses its taste, I don't like the taste of salt. I'm not going to go take a salt shaker and dump it in my hand and put it in my mouth. I'm just not. But salt has a taste, right? If you take a handful of salt and you put it on your tongue and you don't taste anything, you better go get some more salt. Because it's virtually no good for you then. There is no purpose. If you're eating old salt, if you're eating salt that has no taste, we have to have that salt for our bodies to work. And it says, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Guys, don't become the salt that's not good for anything. How do we do that? Man, we study. We have to be good salt thrown out into people's lives. We can't be the bad salt. And in order for us to be the good salt, we have to take what's in here and take it out there. If we're taking this and putting it in here and we're never sharing it, guess what it becomes? It loses its taste. We have to go share. We have to go share. So that's how we incorporated the salt. The light, Matthew 5:14-16. I really love this because we are in a dark world right now. We live in a world that, man, if you turn on the news, there's not much good being talked about, right? We can be that good. We can be that good. Matthew 5:14-16. You are the, and this is in red. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In other words, people, we got to go out there and we got to let people see Jesus. You know, it does us no good to go out there and bundle it all up so nobody sees what we're doing. It does us no good for us not to live a good Christian life and be an example for everybody out there in the world. This world needs us to be bold. This world needs us to go out and shine God's light. Because there's some people we come encounter with every day that we might be the only Jesus they've ever seen. So be bold with your light. You know, and this week I was out in the stores and there was, especially yesterday, because I didn't really want to be at work yesterday. It was Saturday. It was beautiful out. And I knew I had that thing from my uncle yesterday and I really did not want to be at work. But you know, every time I got to feeling pity for myself, somebody would walk by and I would recognize their shirt or I'd notice their shirts. I'll bet you I saw 25 shirts yesterday alone that had some kind of Jesus meaning on them. Whether it was just a simple shirt that said faith or it was a shirt that said had some other slogan. But I mean, literally, it was probably 25 of them yesterday. And I thought, you know, that's pretty cool. That's somebody letting their light out. Because several times yesterday, I said to the guy, I said, dude, I love that shirt. He's like, you know, he said, I wouldn't have wore a shirt like this 5 years ago. I said, good for you, man. It was kind of ugly. I didn't tell him that. It was kind of an ugly color, but I love the message of it. I probably still wouldn't wear that shirt because it's ugly. But I like the message of your shirt. Your color choices are not great. But we are the light that people see. You know, there, even in our small little community, there are people that are hurting every single day. There are people that are struggling every single day. There are people that are not living God's way every single day. And sometimes even just a little thing like saying hello to somebody shows them your light. I don't know. I'm probably way too simple to be up here talking about this. But guys, it's those little things to me that mean the difference. It's the going out of your way to hold a door for somebody. It's going out of your way to say hello to people you come across. Do you know the most miserable people in the world are the people that are in a grocery store? They are. They're miserable. They're, sometimes I just listen to conversations as I'm working on my own palate and blocking everybody's way to the diet caffeine-free Coke. And sometimes people are just flat miserable. And I don't care what you do, they're still miserable. And it's our responsibility and our job to show the light at those points in time. I don't always do a great job of that, but God just keeps putting more and more miserable people in my path, so I have to become better at it. And again, as I'm stocking pop by myself, I have time to think and reflect, and that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, man, this woman coming down the aisle just looks absolutely miserable. I'm going to say hi to her. It becomes a game. But I want people to understand that I have something that I need to share. And that's the way I do it. The branches. God calls us the branches. He says we are the branches. John 15:5. And as branches are connected to the vine, Jesus, we bring His blessing and fruitfulness to the world. So if you think about the tree and the branches, think about that, because the tree itself is solid, right? The tree is solid. It's rooted. It's not going anywhere. But the branches is what actually we're in awe of, because they're beautiful. They're, you know, that's us. That's us. We're the branches. God has made us beautiful. God has made us that we don't have to withstand the big storm. We're out here and we blow a little bit, but we're still rooted to that big tree. And that's where we're going to get. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And you know, while the branches are the pretty of the world and the fruit of the world, without that root, without that rock that we're attached to, we're not anything. The branches themselves cannot live without the vine. And that's pretty important for us to remember. I like this one, this next one. This is number 5. We are stewards/servants. And it's 1 Corinthians 4:1-2. And it's, I'll read this first. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And stewards, servants, our job is to serve. Our job is is to do what God wants us to do even when nobody's watching. And I'm going to go here. I thought this book laid it out pretty well. We are the managers of God's good news, gifts, resources, and blessings, ultimately responsible and accountable to Him only. So when God gives you something to do or to use it. You know, for whatever reason, God's given Les and I and Doug a platform here, and we're not always worthy of it. But what we do is we try to bring the Word to you. And if we do nothing up here other than spout God's Word, we're doing what we're supposed to do. And I know some of us learn with little funny little stories and that, and that's me. But we are called to be the managers of God's good news. And how many of us here are managers in our job? There's some of you that are, right? As managers, what do we have to do? We can't just keep it in. We can't just keep it in. We have to spread what our routine is, what our job is, right? If we just keep it in, if we're the only one doing it, it's not going to do us any good. But as managers, we have to broadcast that out to everyone so that everyone is on the same page. And it says we are managers of God's Word. So that means we have to go and we have to broadcast it. I never thought of this one, but six. God says we are ambassadors. Ambassadors is a hard word. Sometimes I don't understand it. Here's the way I'm going to define it, and this is the way I defined it last week to the kids. The 4-H program has things in the different species of animals that they call them the goat ambassador or the rabbit ambassador or the sheep ambassador or the beef ambassador. What does that mean? It means you're representing that species throughout the fair. You know, you get a nice little sash you wear or whatever. But ambassador means you're always in the line of fire. You're always out there. Let's read the passage. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So ambassadors means we're going to take a stand. You know, much like those kids that wear those sashes around. Man, they take a stand. They'll talk to you about rabbits or ducks or chickens or turkeys or I don't know, whatever. Guys, we are ambassadors for Christ. I wish we had a sash that we wore around every day and said, I'm an ambassador for Christ ambassador. If we do some of the above mentioned things, people will know we're an ambassador for Christ. We are representatives of Christ's kingdoms to the lost people of the world. You know, it's not to the people we go to church with. We don't need to be ambassadors so much for them. We need to be ambassadors out there for Christ. Because if you're sitting here, you are an ambassador for Christ. And that's our responsibility, to take what's in here and take it out to the world. Number 7, saints/holy people. It's Ephesians 1. We are God's holy one by virtue of what Christ has done for us. What does that mean? It means Christ sent His Son, Jesus came, died on a cross, rose again from the dead for us. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Guys, we are saints because we know the message. We know the word. We know the backstory on what Jesus did. And I've never considered myself a saint, because I'm not. I mean, I'm as far from being a... When we think of saints, we think of what? I mean, I'll tell you what I think of. And I might be wrong, might not be. I think of Mother Teresa. I think of, you know, the big celebrated Catholic priest and all this. That those are, to me, those are saints. No. No. They are, but they let people down every day. You and I are saints in God's eyes. But we have responsibilities as being called saints. We got to go do our job. This is probably my favorite one. Citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20 is the passage. But the description is, our allegiance is to God and His kingdom, not to this world. If Philippians 3:20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we start that relationship and when we decide that we want to be a Christian, we become a citizen of heaven. Did you ever think about it that way before? You know, as citizens of the United States, we have certain responsibilities. We have certain rights, but we have certain responsibilities. Same goes times infinity for our citizens. As a citizen of heaven, we have certain rights. We have the right to come here every Sunday and worship Him. We have the right to go Monday through Friday and do our job without getting arrested, without being beaten, without, you know, we may choose other things to get us arrested, but our citizenship in heaven gives us the right to eternal life. Our responsibility as a citizen of heaven is to uphold heaven. You know, as a citizen of the United States, when I hear people talking bad about the nation and bad about the United States, man, I just want to just reach out and strangle them, right? I don't do that because that'll get me arrested. But as a citizen in heaven, when I hear people talking bad about my God, I should feel the same way. Because we're going to live in heaven for eternity. We're going to live here in the United States for a short, short period of time. We should be more excited about our heavenly citizenship than we are about our Morrow Countyan citizenship. Or our Northmorean, or our Mount Gilead, or whatever it is. Because, man, sometimes we'll wear the colors of the school we represent nonstop, and I'm bad about that. But do we always wear the colors of our citizenship of heaven? That's what was cool about those shirts this week. God put those shirts there for me to see. I guarantee you, they weren't because the people wanted to wear them that day. It was because I know the stupid coat guy needed to see those shirts that day. Okay? And that's part of my reward of being a citizen of heaven. It's pretty cool. God calls us soldiers. 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 4. Share in a suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. What does that mean? It means don't get caught up in all this crap down here. Fight the good fight for Jesus. He's the one that called you. He's the one that called you. Sometimes we have to pick our battles. The battle I refuse to not pick is the one about Jesus. Sometimes I'm a terrible soldier. Sometimes I get that reminder. Hey, be a soldier for me. When we are in a battle. And you know, we're soldiers in the best army ever because we already know who won. You know, and I mean, Lindsay is in the military. you know, Jackson's in the military. Doug was in the military. I'm sure there's others that were in the military. Well, but, you know, when Lindsay was shipped overseas, she was going over as support. But she was in the middle of that battle. Not really the middle, but she was in that region. And I just am in awe of how those people can lay it all out there. And they don't know that good's always going to prevail. Guys, we know as Christians that good is going to prevail. He's already won the war. We're here in the battlefield fighting for a win that's already happened. We should just be on fire for that. God says that we are athletes. You knew I was going to, and these next two are things that you knew I was going to tie into the message. I didn't have to do it because it's here in the book. God says we're athletes, 2 Timothy 2:5. And the description here is, we are to live self-controlled lives and train ourselves to be godly. 2 Timothy 2:5. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. There are times, and the young people and I talked, and I correlate a lot back to sports. But, you know, I correlated this across country, which I have no, Ryan and Delaney are running cross country, and I have no training, no knowledge of the sport, other than I know it'd just be miserable. That's all I know. You know, some of my softball girls, when they show up for Tuesday night, they're like, yeah, we ran 10 miles a day. I said, you did what? Yeah, it was a light day. I'm like, ugh. Or we did a 5-mile warm-up. What? But, and you can correlate this to any sport. If you're not going to go into the meets or the games or the matches with no practice, okay? You have to train yourself to do what those people, what those kids are doing in sports. You know, I can't just say, hey, I want to be an Olympic gold medalist in the 100-meter dash. Okay? Now, that I could believe because I'm pretty fast. Let's change it. I'm going to go win the mile race in the Olympics. There is no way right now I could go win the mile race. I don't care if I'm running the you know, Pooch Patrol mile race. There are dogs that run it faster than me, I guarantee. Okay? Because I wouldn't be able to finish it. But you have to train. And as athletes for God, we have to train. We can't just go out there with no training, and we can't just go out there and expect to win a 2-mile race. We have to train. How do we train? Again, you're already part one of training, you're here. You know, the other ways we train are, you know, because the cross-country kids, the coach doesn't always watch them. When they're on a 5-mile run, the coach, and I'm living proof of this, I ran cross-country for about 35 minutes my sophomore year of high school. And it was the 5-mile warm-up that kicked me off of cross country, because these kids went and we started at Northmore High School and we ran down 29 and we were running to West Point and back. Well, you know, there's a little bridge down there about, oh, I don't know, 700 feet past 19. And these kids, some of them, went under the bridge. And I was already gassed by this point. I was like, I'm going under the bridge to wait for them to come back. That's why I was like, I'm done. Actually, I didn't go under the bridge. I jogged to the bridge. I walked back to school. I said, cross country is not for me. Yeah, not for me. I think I'd had 3 asthma attacks on the way to that bridge, had my inhaler, used 200 puffs, decided that was not for me. But as athletes, we have to train. As Christians, we have to train. If we aren't using this to train, we're not doing our due diligence. The next one. God says we are farmers. And the description I like, in fact, I love this description. And the verse is 2 Timothy 2:6. But we sow God's word faithfully in order to reap an eternal harvest. You know, and I don't know much about farming, Larry and Dwayne would be the go-tos for that. So like Larry, when you put beans out and then it rains the next day, what do you have to do the following week? You got to go back out and overseed them again? Some of those are washed, maybe not the next week, but do you overseed when you know it's washed out? You could. So our job as farmers is we got to keep sowing seed in order to get a harvest. Again, I don't know that much about farming. Skyler's a farmer, he's a farmer, and I don't know anything about it. I would be a terrible farmer. Because why? Because I'm an instant gratification kind of guy. But here's the passage, 2 Timothy 2:6. And I think it's fitting that athlete and farmer are 2 Timothy 2:5 and 2:6, because that so talks about the area we live in today. You know, right here. 2 Timothy 2:6. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. So many times we want to see immediate results. You know, I want to see, if I invest time into somebody, I want to see, you know, next week they're up here, they're ready to receive Christ. They want to start that relationship. That is, you know, and anybody that's ever served in a youth ministry capacity or children's church, I'll use children's church for an example. I got out of children's church because it was just too wild for me. There was times, and some of you I had in children's church, you're the reason I'm no longer in children's church. My 3 daughters are a lot of the reason I'm no longer in children's church. I've decided I was more of a farmer for the teen group because they're a little more sit down in a chair and listen to me speak, then run around and bounce off walls and feed donuts and Mountain Dew too. But I wanted to see immediate results, and sometimes I couldn't even get a kid to sit in a chair. It was not for me. We want to see immediate results, but as farmers, we're not going to see immediate results. We don't plant beans or corn or hay or whatever in a field and next day we have a full crop. We have to tend to that crop. We have to fertilize that crop. We have to spray that crop for weeds. We have to do all this stuff to it in order for it to grow. And as farmers for God, we got to water. We got to plant the seed. We got to water. We got to fertilize. We got to spend time. We got to invest. And we may not see the final crop, but know that you were part of the growing of that seed. And we have to do that. And you know, when we go out into the world, and I'll use teachers as an example. You know, Brittany teaches second grade. Chris teaches third grade. Sarah teaches a little bit of everything. And Jennifer's in the school. Anybody that's in the school, your job is to grow and develop these young people. Man, when they leave second grade or third grade, that's not the finished product. But you've laid the foundation. You've sown the seeds. And now, and we see these kids graduate high school as polished young people. And I've just got to think it's a pretty good sense of accomplishment for you teachers to see that, because you see how they've turned out and you think, you know, I had a little hand in that. Guys, we need to be that on fire for the people out there in the world. Because we need to go out and sow our seed, sow God's seed everywhere in Morrow County, everywhere in Ohio, everywhere in the United States. We need to be that example for everybody. And maybe it's as simple as that. We're just the example. Maybe we're given a chance, an opportunity to sow the seed and develop the seed. Maybe we're there for the final harvest. We have to do our part as citizens of heaven. We are living stones, a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2:5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I love the ending to this passage, because we need to understand that anything we do by ourselves is not it. We need to do it through Jesus Christ so that it's acceptable to God. When I start walking my own plan, it fails. When I start walking Jesus Christ's plan for me, that's when it's acceptable to God. And we always get reassurances for that. We are the foundation of the living stone that God is building right now. We are a priesthood. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. And the description here is, we may draw near to God, and we have the privilege of helping others do the same. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are a chosen race. Humankind, we are a chosen race. We were chose for greatness by God. That's hard to wrap our head around all the time. But we were chosen for greatness by God. And we must understand that we were chosen. Okay? He chose every single one of us to be a partner with Him. And we receive mercy. And you could go on, you could spend 3 weeks on mercy. I'm not going to do that. faith, grace, and mercy are three words that you could just talk about forever. Not going to do that. But understand that we are now a chosen people. And the last one, I think it's funny, again, we talked about athletes and farmers being back-to-back messages. Well, actually, soldiers, athletes, farmers are all back-to-back-to-back. And now we were called living stones, we're called a priesthood, and now we're called foreigners and exiles. And this is 1 Peter 2:11. And I love the description here because it says, the world is not our home. We are only passing through. 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. There are times when our flesh wants us to do one thing, and we cannot give in to that because we don't want to wage war against our soul. But we are here temporarily. We are fighting the battle here temporarily. We are going to live eternally with Jesus and with God for eternity. So don't fall victim to what this world tells us we should fall victim to. Because the world makes everything look like rainbows and butterflies. Guys, we're after something far, far greater than being known as the best Morrow County in ever. Man, we want eternity with Him. We want eternity with Him. And you know, that one was weird to me that foreigners was thrown in there, but it was important for me to understand that He's calling me a foreigner in this land, knowing that for eternity I'm going to spend with Him. So we can't get caught up with what goes on here today. We have to see the big picture. We have to fight. We have to be the farmer, and we have to fight that battle all the way through. You know, we have to be the athlete and train today for what we expect tomorrow. Guys, and what I expect tomorrow is eternity in heaven. You know, my Uncle Dan, there is no doubt in my mind where he is. Did he have flaws? Sure. Did he have flaws? Sure. But at his heart and his base, he did the right thing for the betterment of the kingdom of God. Did a lot of other goofy things that were of the world. But I know he's now in heaven looking down and saying, okay, the battle was worth it. The friendships that I incurred down on earth and the seeds that I planted down on earth, now it's time I get to sit and watch them grow. That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Guys, if you don't know any of this stuff we're talking about, if you have questions about what we're talking about, if you want to know more about being chosen, if you want to know more about starting that relationship with our God and Father, today's the day. Today's the day. Les and Jess now will be here. The praise team is going to come. We're going to sing a final song. And if you have any prayer needs that need prayed for, I know we have one that we're going to pray over. If you have anything that you need prayed about, if you have any questions in your mind about what eternity looks like, don't wait. Don't wait. If you've never been an athlete before, today's the day to start your athletic training. for Jesus. Don't let that, the hardest thing is that first day. Don't be like me and walk away from it halfway through the training. We always come back. Let's close in prayer and then we'll sing a song. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the message and all the things you think about us to make us rounded individuals. And Lord, I just hope and I pray that we're putting in the time, we're putting in the training with the end goal in mind of living eternally with you. Lord, we know that there's a lot going on in this world and we know that there's a lot of people that are hurting. Lord, just let us be the light for you. Put us in situations to be the light for you, Lord, every single day. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.